exciting segment, we have Mr. Zeese and Matthew and Micaiah Thomas joining us. And I'm excited because this is a little bit of an interesting mentoring dynamic where you have somebody who's very experienced and then a couple of brothers who are maybe not so experienced learning from Mr. Zeese together. This actually, from what I understand, started with you. They didn't approach you. You approached their dad. Is that correct?
Well, we were talking about that before. Actually, Mr. Thomas called me to begin with. Okay. So that's how he said he realized because he's in the corporate world, he was not able to give his sons the training they needed in whatever field they were going to go into because he was really not in a position to take his sons to work with him. So he actually called me to begin with.
So mentoring is, let's be honest, fairly outside the box.
Yes.
What sort of possessed you to be interested in something like a mentoring relationship with these guys?
Well, I mean, that's what I grew up with. That's what my father did with us. That's what my brother is doing with his sons. And actually, one of their friends was a mentor, or an apprentice, I mean. And he apprenticed in our company for about 6 months, and he went back to Texas. So then just thinking about what Kevin was doing and my brother did with this other apprentice, when Mr. Thomas called me, I thought, hey, this would be a good idea. But how would we work it out? That was that was the hard part.
Okay, so let's take it from the top.
Okay.
Mr. Thomas called you. You thought, well, actually, this is something that's been done in our family. Why is it important? Well, I mean, so some of the people listening are saying, is it college over here? Is it mentorship? Do you just take whatever feels best? Why did you think this is something that you should do?
Because what I saw in the Christian community is we have some quality young men in these homeschool families. They have the spiritual capital, but they don't have, when they get to be age 19, 20, 22, they desire to get married. But when I talk to these young men, they're not sure what they want to do for a living, to earn money to support a family. They don't have any job skills. They don't have any money saved. We talked about that many times with myself, with other men, and how can we help these young men get to the place where they can support a family and get married?
And why do you want to help young men do that? What's your vision?
To advance God's kingdom. If we're going to make an impact as Christians in this nation and all over the world, we need Christian young men in places of importance in running their own businesses so they can have the time, resources to advance God's kingdom.
So he just kind of laid a bit of an indictment at the feet of young men, which is that we're pretty much clueless. What did you think about this mentoring idea? Was it like, oh man, I wish we were going to college, hang out for 4 years with our peers?
We considered the college route. In fact, we actually took some college courses. We started our process in terms of doing that. It was something that at first our parents wanted us to do because according to my dad's mindset, that's how you did it. That's how he was raised and that's the way he knew how to do. So after starting it though, we got into it a little bit and we realized we're going to be spending all these years and all of this money to get a piece of paper that we might not even need for in the area that we go and live our lives. So we didn't like the idea of doing college, not because of the work that was to be put into it, but more because we realized that it just didn't seem to offer what we wanted to do.
And at that point, you didn't necessarily know what you wanted to do.
No.
How common is that with young men?
It's very common. I go to these conferences, and that's, I seek out young men, and I ask them those questions because I desire to know, because I want to see young men being successful, Christian young men.
But can't college help you figure out?
I went 5 years to college. It gave me zero training for what I'm doing. I have teaching degree, and I just did that to my father said my brother and I needed more maturing before we started a business.
So what do you think is the best way for young men, because part of what's going on here is young men are watching this and they're saying, well, I don't know if I should pursue a mentorship in sales or in marketing or in underwater basket weaving because I don't know what I'm gifted at.
Right.
How should they solve that problem?
Well, that's where I think their mom and dads can step in and help them get a job in many different places. They might have to try 10 different things before
experience.
They actually have to do, they might say, why, well, I'd love to do whatever, and then they try it and they say, this isn't what I thought it was going to be like. Right.
If it seems like the college mindset is backwards, where if you don't know, many times people don't know what they're doing, so they go to college and get a degree, and then they realize afterwards, oh, here's what I want to do, and then they have a piece of paper that was probably not what they ended up wanting to do. Whereas this is more what experience, try mm-hmm. things, see what you want to do, and then delve into that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go to the beginning. Back to the beginning. Mr. Thomas called you. This is something you have a vision for. How did it get started from there?
Well, we decided, Mr. Thomas and I were trying to work out if Matthew would come to St. Louis, where would he live? Because he felt that Matthew needed to be with the family and under some accountability, be involved in family worship. So after much prayer, my family and I decided, well, Matthew could live at our home. And his back was injured at the time, so he would call me like once a month before they came, and he'd say, my back still hurt. I still want to come. In fact, can I come right now? And I'd say, no, wait till your back's healed, because when you come and work as an apprentice, you're going to be working.
We're going to break your back.
You're not going to just be driving around in the truck with me. You're going to be learning, physically doing things. And then it was probably 3 weeks before Matthew was going to come, and praying with my family, after praying with them, God just brought to my mind, what about Micaiah? Matthew was 20 at the time. Micaiah was 17, so I called up Mr. Thomas, and I said, Matthew's coming in about 3 weeks. What about Micaiah? What's he doing? Mm-hmm. And Mr. Thomas said, well, he's finishing up his high school work. I said, what does Micaiah want to do with his life? Mr. Thomas said, well, he's not sure.
Let me guess. Doesn't know.
Exactly. He's right. Searching around. Exactly.
You and about all the other 17-year-olds in the world, right?
And we were really praying that Mr. Thomas would allow Micaiah to come. And I said, Mark, please pray about Micaiah coming with Matthew. If I'm going to take the time to teach one, might as well teach two at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that way they can, if one forgets what I say, maybe the other one will remember when they go back home to Oklahoma. So Mark called me about a week later and said, okay, Micaiah's coming, and which we were very grateful.
Okay. Back to you guys. I'm sure you were glad you were mixed into this equation.
Yeah, definitely.
Or were you not?
No, I was definitely, definitely glad to be a part of it. And
why?
It's one of those things. It's one of those things where, as you enter into it, you see more and more the value of it. Especially coming in, it helps. I've seen that mentorship especially helps you to figure things out, even in the whole process of the couple months that we were here. And one of those things was I had two options that I was kind of looking into. But when we started the mentorship, we started thinking through things and saying, you know, where do we want to go? Why do we want to be doing the things that we're doing? Why do we want to get married? How are we going to get there? Et cetera. And one of those things was, if I'm going to get to a certain goal, are these two other options, which was like acting possibly or fashion, something in that, are they going to get me there in the most profitable manner?
Are they consistent with that goal?
Exactly. So it was one of those things where, as we saw the whole apartment industry, it was like, where do we want to go? We want to get married. This can help incorporate what we're thinking of possibly teaching our children as well. You know, we can bring our children up in this. We can include a lot of
our
values that we have.
I think this is a providential rabbit trail, because part of the issue that we're dealing with mentorship is that 99% of young men would rather focus on the number of friends they have on Facebook and getting to, like I say, the 26th level of some dumb computer game than thinking about where they're headed with a family. That's a foreign idea. What would be your advice to them, Matthew? Why should they get outside of things that frankly might be a little bit more fun and sacrifice some of that pleasure for the long term?
I'd say think about the eternal goal. Huh. Really, what are we here for? What's our purpose here on earth? If you think about if you have the selfish mindset where life is all about me, then yeah, playing video games makes sense and it'll get you nowhere and it'll end your life miserably because you're not living how God wants you to live, mm-hmm. which is selflessly and living for Christ and calling the things that God's called good, good. One of them being work. You know, Adam was put in the garden to work. And then he made Eve for Adam, and marriage was called good.
Work is actually a good thing.
It is. It really is. It's just the sweat that makes it difficult at times. But
that was another part of the mentorship that we learned was learned that we didn't know beforehand was that work was actually a good thing that you can enjoy and have fun, and that it's not a drudge to go to work every day.
Go ahead.
Which, if I might add, is something where it was really excellent to see him, and even his dad would stop by sometimes on the work site. And his dad really made work fun for him. He tells stories when he was a little boy, when he was 7 and 8 years old. They were looking forward to going to work. They didn't go to their work with their dad. Mm-hmm. But when their dad told them, "You're going to be able to go to work with me tomorrow," they could hardly sleep. They were so excited because he made work fun. And that's one thing that we want to have the same vision for is with our children, is to say, work is a good thing.
Sweat is the curse, you know, not work.
Okay, so how did you instill this in them? Because I'm getting the feeling that you liked a little bit into the mentorship than perhaps you did before. How did you do that? What did you do?
That's a tough question.
Get ready for a few of those.
Yeah. My father, like they said, always made work fun. And Sunday night, he couldn't wait to get back to work. And I'm still that way. I enjoy going to work. I want to see what's going on there and change these apartments around and come up with the best product that we can for the people moving in. So just showing them how business work and making it profitable can be fun. We're learning at the same time. And when you learn how, like, apartments work, that you can provide for your families.
Okay. So how did you begin to integrate them into your work?
Okay, well, like I said, they moved in with us for, it was going to be a 4-week trial period. And they rode back and forth with me in the truck to work. We had...
And I'm sure asked way too many questions.
So we'd use that time exactly to ask questions. I would speak into them, their lives. And also, after family worship, I put together a business curriculum hurriedly before they came. I knew they were coming. So during the day, they would learn how to fix things, tear things apart. And then in the evening, they were learning the business principles, how apartments actually worked.
Wow, and they were learning the stuff with you.
Correct.
Different concept from college, which is you learn from books, mainly, most degrees only from books, whereas this, you get right in there and actually figure out what it's all about first.
Sort of, kind of like what maybe Jesus sort of did.
Exactly, you know? Yeah.
They didn't necessarily work side by side with me every day, but... we would give them, they would be under supervisors, so we gave them the dirtiest, rottenest jobs. We would always say, that's for the interns, they will take care of
the newbies.
Yeah, the newbies, right. Exactly.
Right, but he's always made himself available for teaching us anytime we had questions, to be there asking, you know, when we had a question saying, how does this work, what is this philosophy, he is there and wants to teach us that.
Just
go ahead.
Some of the guys that... the supervisors they were working under said, they tell me later, these guys ask way too many questions. They just need to get the work done. But they were trying to learn how and why we were doing the things we were doing. Well, that was good. That's what we wanted.
That's exactly where I wanted to go.
Okay.
So go back to the truck rides. How would the mentorship have gone if there would have been silence from the right side of the truck the whole drive there and no questions?
Then after the 4 weeks, we would have said, my family and I would have said, thanks, guys, for being with us. Just take what we've taught you and go back to Oklahoma. Because that was one of the things we talked about as a family. Before the 4 weeks was up, these guys asked if they could stay longer. They were going home the month of March, and they wanted to come back April 1st. And I talked with my wife and family and I said, I've only scratched the surface about what these guys need to learn. And they're eager to learn. They're listening to what I'm saying. So let's pour into them some more. Mm-hmm. So we said, let's let them come until the 4th of July.
Okay. And
that's what happened.
Okay. And so from your guys' perspective, where did this whole question asking thing come from? Is this something you knew to do intuitively? Because I'm sure you've met other young men who, you know, how are you doing today? Okay, so right. So how important was asking questions from your perspective, and how did you learn to do that?
Mm-hmm. Our parents, thankfully, I give credit to our parents, yeah, who right. really taught us, even when we were growing up, to go out and talk to people, ask questions, and learn from people. You know, even being at church, don't sit there and stand there against the wall or just talk to your friends, but go to some of the dads. I remember my dad would tell me all the time, I want you today to go to 3 people and ask them about either the message or something you learned. And
your parents and my parents are sitting together.
Which, I mean, it was tough. I didn't like that. And in fact, I would formulate fear of man.
Yes.
I would say just a scared laziness, mm-hmm. Not wanting to get in the nitty gritty of it. Mm-hmm. I think mainly fear of man, yeah, probably.
Afraid but, you'll say the wrong thing or get asked a question that you don't know the answer to.
So I think you were saying you would formulate questions?
Anything I could do. I remember sitting there just trying to think, okay, here's the 10 questions I'm going to have in my mind before I go to this person, and usually your mind goes blank right as you walk up to them. But just trying to say, okay, you know, do you like doing this? Do you like doing this? So when it transitioned to mentorship, it was a lot easier. I think we had an advantage, thanks to our parents, doing that in terms of saying, oh, here's something he's teaching us, the concept of business, learning apartments. What do we need to learn? And, you know, there are so many aspects to it, mm-hmm. that it was a blessing to be able to ask him those questions.
That's great. Okay, so you guys started out doing the dirty jobs. Now you actually have your own properties. How did they get from dirty jobs to owning properties?
Well, after they came back the second time, and before the 4th of July came, they asked, can we stay longer?
This is time number 3.
Yeah, it's time number 3. So my family and I went back to praying. They left to go with their family to Massachusetts. In the meantime, my family and I prayed about it again, and I told my family, these guys still don't know enough. They need to learn more. So we said, okay, they can come on back until Thanksgiving, and then they still wanted to learn more, and then they came back in January, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, one of the things I'm hearing in Mr. Zeiss is that he actually cared about you guys.
He did.
Yeah. What are some of the ways that he demonstrated that care for you?
I am blown away just by the amount of time he spent with us. And, I mean, from my perspective, it was like, who are we that we should even be, you know, chosen to have somebody pour into our lives? And that's what he did. He saw where we were and takes so much time and self-sacrifice out of what he could do in terms of his business, his family, his other projects he'd want to pursue. And instead, he poured it into us. Mm-hmm. And that was one way.
One of the things I notice about the Thomas boys is they're actually humble.
Yeah.
And they want to learn.
That's right.
How important was that to the success of this mentoring relationship?
That was key. Without them being humble, them wanting to learn, it would have been hard for me to take the time to teach them. And thankfully, they've listened to what I've said, tried to teach them. They've asked other guys who work for me. They've talked to my brother, who's my partner. That desire to learn and then listen to what we say and then implement it was key. So, you know, back to how they got started, when they came back the third or fourth time, when they came back in January, they lived with us for another 2 months, and then in March of, I forget what year it was, last year, we started talking about them actually owning apartments.
Okay.
So we said,
risky proposition.
Yeah. I said, is this something you guys really want to do? Why don't you guys go pray about it together? I don't want to force you into anything you don't want to do. But that's really the next step. You need to buy a place. And so I think a week or
and
two.
This is how long into the mentorship?
1 year.
1 year.
1 year and 1 month.
Okay. So it took a whole year.
It took a whole year. They needed a whole year just to learn about apartments. It was all brand new to them.
Okay. And even then, we weren't ready for it.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, I told them, I said, okay, your next step is to buy apartments. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you're ready to buy apartments, 1 being you're not ready. You're between a 1 and a 2.
But also that was a way where he taught us how to learn, is because many times you learn by doing it. Mm-hmm. And even though we weren't ready, he gave us the opportunity to throw ourselves into it. And since then, we've learned a ton by being able to do it ourselves.
Okay, that's a really important point, because I think it contrasts one of the differences between maybe a more mentor-driven approach and maybe more of a college approach. How important, in your opinion and experience, is actually applying and doing to the learning process?
It's really important. I know when my brother and I were growing up, my father taught us how to work on apartments. By the time I was 16, my brother was 15, we could go in and evaluate a vacant apartment, an apartment building. We would know what an apartment needed to get ready to re-rent, and we knew how to do it. But actually running apartments, we didn't know that much about until we actually bought them. Our father would tell us, he would show us what he was doing, but my brother and I really learned when we bought our first apartments. And just seeing them brings back so many memories of my brother and myself. So I know what they're going through.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so talk to me about this idea of getting started from your perspective. Was it scary? What made you want to take the risk?
A little nerve-wracking, but oftentimes what I see looking around me especially is that oftentimes a lot of people just need to jump in, dive headlong into something and do it. Even though you might see failure looming up ahead, you don't know what's coming. You just need to go ahead and actually do something. It's kind of like the Thomas Edison principle, where when he made the light bulb, he made like something like 4,000 different light bulbs before he struck upon the right idea. He said, I found out 3,000 ways not to make the light bulb, but I finally found that one, mm-hmm. that one way. And oftentimes you just need to get out there and actually do something.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was definitely scary. We didn't come from a background of having many business principles taught. So even coming into this, the whole mentorship idea was one where it would have been foolish to not listen to Mr. Zeese and not take his advice. So that's what we did. It was pretty much, here's what he said to do, and let's stick to this as close as we can and learn as much as we can in the process of doing it. And when it came to, time, okay, you're ready to buy your first property, it was one of those things where even then I was kind of like, I don't really know what this entails 100%. But I'm trusting him as a mentor, and also I'm going to just try my hardest in terms of any of the skills God's given me. I'm just going to, try to be faithful with what I have and pray and let God direct the rest.
How long has it been since you bought your first property?
A year and a few months.
Okay, so in your opinion, how have those months gone?
I think they've gone great. They've done what I told them. They've improved the property. Real estate, the way we do real estate is we take a distressed piece of property and we pour money, labor back into it and raise it up, make it a better piece of property. And they've
take
dominion of that piece of property. They've done every suggestion I've told them to their first piece of property, and it's really improved the value, got the rents up. Property's worth a lot more now. So I'm thankful. They're doing great.
Okay, so this is interesting. We talked about young men coming into a mentoring relationship and not asking questions. Another temptation is that they might view this as an opportunity to educate the mentor about their opinions on what he says. What you said about these guys is that they followed your advice to the T.
Right.
How important is that? Is it good for a mentoree to challenge the mentor, or should they focus on just doing what he says pretty strictly?
Well, these guys ask lots of questions. I think that's important, but in the end, they need to see where the mentor's coming from. And we talked a lot about why guys fail in business, and showed them examples. In fact, the place they bought, they could see why the old owner was not being very successful. Uh-huh. And that's what, but we're thankful that he wasn't, because that's why they were able to buy the property. Uh-huh. If that guy would have been successful, they wouldn't have bought it then. Because mm-hmm. why sell a piece of property if everything's going smoothly?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And the more we learn too is one of those things where every time we had a question where we came up with some better way to do it that, you know, they weren't doing, and we asked them about it, we realize, oh, there was a reason, because they've been doing it for over 35 years, that they've thought through almost every single area to a T, which now I think we're getting to the point where even I'm trying to broaden my knowledge in the sense that, you know, we might not do things the exact same way, but we've learned his major principles, and even sticking to those, we might do things a little bit differently. But so it's not like you're going to be a robot,
right.
But at the same time, you know, you have to change with the times depending on what technology is out and those sort of things. But it's definitely
right. And they've come up with good ideas too, sure. that they've implemented. Absolutely.
But they're starting with this basis of let's follow what he has right. told us as much as possible.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. So this is exciting. Are you guys excited about this?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So excited.
It's been a lot of fun. It's actually been a real blessing for me and my family to see them take off. Even my brother's interested in what they're doing. My father, who's 85, he stops by their apartments and just to see what's going on, because we want to see these guys be successful.
That's great. Now, here's the tough part. What do you get out of this?
Like I said, I'm blessed. It's reminiscent of when my brother and I were started. I want to see those guys be successful, and maybe they'll teach their friends, they'll teach their sons, it'll just be carried on.
Did they pay you for your time? Do you consider, were they valuable enough during the first year of the mentorship to contribute anything to you? Was it just the fact that you're leaving a legacy, or did they contribute anything?
Absolutely. They brought value, absolutely. The year they worked, they're learning. They were on our payroll. They were being paid.
All right.
Absolutely. And I told them, okay, you need to save your money. You need a truck. And you need a down payment. And so that's what they did. They were saving their money like they're supposed to. If they would have been spending their money, I wouldn't even considered trying to buy, you know, have right. them buy some apartments.
So at what point during that first year did they become valuable?
Well, they were, I mean.
Sorry, guys, this might okay. be right.
No.
They were actually valuable from day one, because they were doing the dirty jobs that no one else wanted to do.
That's an immense value.
Right. So all the other guys working for me were happy these guys were here. In fact, my family took some pictures of them when they came home from work, and we had this fire, and they were covered in all this soot and faces and clothes. So they were definitely getting the dirty jobs.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this might put you guys on the spot a little bit, but what were the main areas where their character developed over the period of time that you worked with them? And I'm going to put the question back to you guys and see if your answers match up. Because mentorship is not just about skill sets.
Right.
Right? I'm guessing their character grew.
Mm-hmm.
So how?
I saw them mature as far as being growing in from young men into men, and there's that it's an awkward stage when how does a young man become a man, and so seeing them get more serious about providing for themselves, thinking about marriage, providing for a family, it was not that they didn't have those things before, but
sure.
just seeing them mature and take on more responsibility, just giving them the opportunities to do that. As far as other character traits, I was thankful that they were reading their Bibles every morning before we go to work, and then we'd have family worship. So seeing them continue to grow spiritually and not put that on the back burner. So that I was thankful for that. I'll have to think about
sure.
other ways. Maybe
sure.
they have some
Before
suggestions.
Before we move on to them, something you said, you saw them take more leadership and get a bigger vision
right.
as they worked with you. Is it true that taking on responsibility breeds taking on more responsibility? Is there something about working with you that caused them to want to take on more responsibility?
I'm not sure. You'd have to ask them.
Okay, what do you guys think?
Yeah, definitely. I would say yes. And I would say that was a big thing, was that it was just a whole mindset switch from, you know, no more cookies now. You know, it tastes good, but I want to eat meat. I want to get strong. And getting into that mindset of taking the future seriously.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So how do you guys think your character grew during this time?
One is we worked a lot, and we had a steady work schedule that was a lot of hours in a week. And so I'd say that was one thing for me especially, is in terms of having a major work amount, is just being diligent. Mm-hmm. And day in, day out, going to work and learning a lot. It's something we never really did for it. I mean, we worked at home, sure. but it was just a different type. It was a different mindset. And
honestly, just being lazy was a big thing. And just increasing I need to get to work here, you know. Even down to the very, you know, pace of my walking and saying, you know, I need to speed this up because there's work to be done here. You know, this isn't my time.
Right.
You know, this is someone else's time here.
Mm-hmm. So. Just to follow up on that, you know, they came when Matthew was 20, Micaiah was 17. I was trying to tell them, you guys are already behind the eight ball. You should have been figuring this out 6 years ago.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have to really put the pedal to the metal and start doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe they came here and tried to bring
That's
them down
true.
To here uh-huh. that you need to catch mm-hmm. up.
Yeah. Right. And when you have an understanding of how far you had to go,
mm-hmm.
did that affect your pace and your initiative and wanting to pursue that goal?
Because in one sense, it's like a blow. It's like, oh, man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How can I ever catch up? But then in one sense, it's like, I need to be up there. Quick, let's start running, you know, mm-hmm. as fast as you can.
Yeah.
So
another thing character-wise that he often talks about is how to be successful in the business world is also the things that every Christian needs in their life is self-denial, self-discipline, and self-control. And those were just principles he taught over and over again throughout the time, even in terms of, you know, saving your money. This is how much you should be saving your paycheck. You know, 90% of it, 10% goes to, you know, tithe. Maybe the government gets their amount too. But even in terms of the principles of saying, okay, how many hours are you working? You know, what are your priorities in life? And what things should you be focusing on right now? Because we realize there's a thousand good things we can do in a day. You know, you can learn French, you can learn Spanish, you can do all these various different good things. But what's the priority? Where you want to end up, and how do you get there?
Okay, we're going to wrap this up.
Okay.
As we do so, again, our audience here is 16 to 22
right.
or somewhere around there. Can you talk about those three areas and give a challenge to the young men? Why should they develop in self-discipline, in self-denial, and in self-control?
Well, if we're going to be a successful in business, I think it starts with, that's the Christian life. Christian life is self-denial, self-sacrifice, self-control. And the sooner the young men learn that, the sooner they can be successful in whatever their heart's desire is. So that's why I would tell those guys all the time, especially if you're going to be an entrepreneur, and that's the way we were brought up. My father and I said, I don't want you boys working for anyone. You need to own your own business, whatever it is. So, and he would say, that's going to take long hours. You're going to have to deny yourself. And I could see that in the way my father and mother lived. So it just seemed natural that my brother and I and my sisters, that's the way we grew up, not even knowing anything about Christian principles. So that's when they got to St. Louis, I knew that's one of the first things they had to learn and to be successful in business. And I never dreamed that they would end up buying apartments. I just thought they would come for 4 weeks and then go back home and that would be the end of it. But because they asked questions, they were excited about what they were learning and wanted to learn, then I was willing to spend more time with them and pour into them.
That's exciting, guys. And I'm actually really excited for you. You talked about where you started and your understanding of how far you had to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't get daunted by that. Mm-hmm. But maybe some of the young men that are listening are somewhat daunted by that. what would be your encouragement to them?
Actually, I would say this is a huge thing because you, and for me, before we had the opportunity to come there, I was being even 19 years old, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know where I was going. I did a little college, a little bit of this and that. And I, honestly, I was very depressed, and there was so many, I didn't trust in God during that time. And but God used that to help me see, you need to trust in God alone. And that would be my first encouragement to young men, is saying, first of all, seek first the kingdom, is pray. Take time, fast about your future, and ask God, for seek God first in this. You know, if you just think about, oh, how can I be successful, it's still selfish. So having that mindset where I can so relate to young men, and even during the process of when we were first here, it wasn't like every day was, you know, all, you know, roses and peaches and cream. Sure. So it took a lot of work, and even there were times where, you know, I was sitting there and I just don't understand how I can get from here to here. And it would be, you know, depressing, but at the same time, you know, God gives grace, and just basically telling yourself, you know, get up and keep going and persevering. And when you fail, repent and move on.
Hey, go ahead.
I was just going to say, young men, that's where mom and dad need to come in and help the young man figure out what he can do for a living. And young men need to keep pestering their parents to get them that training, that apprenticeship, whatever training they need. That's where mom and dad step in. And I was so thankful Mark Thomas did that for his sons. Mm-hmm.
What would be your word of encouragement to the young men that are listening?
Just in regards to seeing the daunting task ahead of you and how to cope with that, I would say that a lot of it is making sure you're part of a local church. The encouragement of families is a huge thing. Staying with your family was a big thing. When you get in the dumps, you know, there's other people to help. Just talk through things and just,
family worship,
you know,
every night.
Yeah, exactly. So just, I'd say that was a huge major thing, was just being with people who can encourage you and strengthen you.
It wasn't just about building a skill set. Mm-hmm. It was about building a maturity with your relationship with Christ. Does the world need more mentors?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We need a lot. All successful Christian businessmen need to be, if possible, mentor some young men, because these guys are going to be able to avoid a lot of mistakes that my brother and I made. Plus, we need more Christian businessmen if we're going to advance God's kingdom. It's just one of the tools God's given us is money to advance that. Plus, we need to set up businesses where young men can, when they get married, involve their family in helping them, you know, work in the business.
That's what this is all about, God's kingdom. Thank you for your time, Thomas.
Thank you.
For your example for the young men. Thank you, Mr. Zeese. Appreciate it. God bless. Okay, we just finished the clip you just saw, and we were putting down the camera equipment. The mic was just put down, and Marcel makes a comment, and this is Makai and Matthew's younger brother. And here's a funny thing, guys. I was thinking about, as we were finishing up that interview, asking you about whether or not you were wanting to disciple or mentor any other young men. Because that's what this is about, is for this mentorship idea to work, the disciples have to become disciplers. And I didn't ask it because I didn't want to get an answer like, oh no, we're not doing that yet. And then Marcel says something that was amazing. What did you just say?
Well, I said that Mr. Zeese was interning my two brothers. Yeah. And he gave them so much discipleship. Now they're passing it on to me. Huh. And so they got their apartments. And now they are teaching me a lot of stuff they knew. And it's a great blessing for me.
Right. So I'm the youngest of four boys, and I know that having brothers that love and fear the Lord was a huge impact on me. Has that affected you at all?
Yeah, Matthew and Makai, they always encourage me, especially being the youngest, you know. And
What does that look like?
It's funny. One thing that we've talked about is we have an older brother. Well, there's four brothers in our family. And the first one was kind of like, we always call him the guinea pig. You know, he goes out and tries all the different things. And we kind of see, oh, okay, this is more the area we need to do it. And then I start and I'm 20 years old. And I'm like, oh man, I'm way too old to be starting this. We got to start younger. So we turned around.
And then I'm 17 like, years old. Oh yeah, wait a second. I should have been doing this a while ago.
So we all look at Marcel and we're like, okay, Marcel, come on, shape it up. You got to start working, preparing for your family. And it's been amazing seeing him, even in terms of like him saving money and so many different things and keeping track of his money. You know, that was one thing we said, okay, you got to do this. And he's faithful about that. And whenever he gets some money, he keeps track of it and he's learning how to do that. And just taking, growing in areas like that. So it's fun.
No, it's not bad. Marcel, you're annoying. No. And this is how you need to shape up. How have you invested? What kind of attitude have you seen in Matthew's influence on Marcel?
Just the excitement of being able to work together as brothers has been something. And as Marcel comes and we see where we weren't able to go, or rather that we didn't have a goal, and now being able to bring Marcel in and be like, hey, you know, you can learn these things, you can grow in these areas, is just exciting. And saying, hey, you want to start building for family, you want to start building for your future, you know, come on, you can start working with us. And I mean, that's exciting in itself, being able to be in a position to even do that. And
yeah, is there something that's powerful about brothers?
Oh yeah, we love each other. It's like we're big happy family.
Okay. Trust is a big thing. Trust. Being able to have someone who you can trust.
Are you guys gonna take over the world or?
Yeah.
Okay, but no, seriously, how have you seen it being effective to work together?
It was always a dream of ours to work together, just because we loved each other as a family. Our parents taught us well, and to the sense where, you know, when we didn't like each other, my mom would say, "What's wrong with you guys? You love each other, and you give each other a hug right now." So we were raised to love each other as brothers, and now that we're raised, we know each other really well. We know each other's weaknesses, we know each other's strengths, and there's so much that pull and tendency where you can use your knowledge of them to pull them down and tear them apart, or you can, by God's grace, and only by God's grace, use your knowledge of that to build them up. And, you know, not saying you'll always be perfect, you'll fail all the time, but I was thinking all the times, you know, where I can be so bossy, you know, notice I talk most of the time, but I can use that many times to crush Marcel and, you know, be like, oh, you did this horribly, you know, you did a bad job. But knowing how also he learns by, you know, basically pouring into his life and encouraging him in certain areas and saying, you did this really good, hey, you can be like this. And it's that encouraging mindset where, with knowing each other, we're able to build each other up. And I find that with all of my brothers, really.
That's fantastic. Thanks for sharing, Marcel. Thank you, Thomas, boys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yesterday, we had a great interview with the Thomas brothers. And the interview is sort of a gift that keeps on giving, because right after we finished the interview, the brothers said, you know what, you should really talk to our dad, because he's the one that's instigated these mentoring relationships for us. So thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
You're welcome.
Mr. Thomas. So why is mentoring something that you've sought out for your sons? I mean, because you had a college background,
right.
You're really high up in the field of what you do.
Right.
Mentoring's a little outside the box.
Yep. Well, I've worked in my field for 34 years as a software engineer. I've worked on all kinds of weapon systems, from submarine fast attack subs to radars, and I saw that in my field, where the corporate world is heading is not a good place spiritually, and certainly you can make a good income there, but what you have to give up for it, I didn't think it was worth it. And like many of the speakers have said over this conference, it wasn't an easy decision to make for my boys, because having been trained and raised to work for someone else, it was so ingrained in me that college is the way to go. So we had many discussions about which way to go in this. So I saw the need to develop some real life skills in my children that would stick. And I started with my older son, Michael, and he had 4 or 5 apprenticeship opportunities that I sought out. But I waited for the right time, waited for the right opportunity, waited for the right Christian man that I developed a relationship with before I did that. I didn't think working at Walmart or Kmart would really give the kind of skill-based mentoring relationships that they needed for real life. So in the case of Matthew and Micaiah, we were close friends with the Zeeses, and I saw what he had done and what he had accomplished in his life, and I thought, you know, that man is untapped. There could be some real benefit, not just for my sons, but even for him sharing what he's learned over the years. So I called him and asked him if he would pray about this idea I had, and it was a real blessing that he agreed to that. And he probably told you the story that Matthew was going to go for a trial period, and then he called back and asked if Makai could go, which was an incredible blessing. So he's poured a lot into their lives, and they have eaten all of it up. They've really, really pressed in, and it's been a blessing to see them grow and mature in ways that I could not give them. As we've said in this conference, I think I've laid the foundation spiritually, and I needed other mature men in my life who were entrepreneurs who could give them what I could not give them at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of goes to one of the things that your sons talked about, which was I asked them, I said, you actually asked Mr. Zeese a lot of questions. You sought out his wisdom. And they said, well, that was because of how we were raised by our parents. What did you do to instill in your sons that desire for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding, as it talks about in the book of Proverbs, enough so that they would actually ask questions?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I'm sort of inquisitive by nature anyways, but I don't think that was really it. I think the fact that I loved them so much and wanted to instill biblical principles in them, and I knew that the key to that was relationship. So I spent a lot of time with my boys. What I could not give them in maybe some real-life skills in terms of carpentry or maybe auto mechanic skills, I could give them in relationship and walking along the way. And anything we did, I took them everywhere I went, whatever we did, whatever my passion was, they were with us. Mm-hmm. So we would have many father-son retreats together, one-on-one, and as all the boys together, even with my girls for that matter. But it was our relationship together and our constant speaking about the Lord that I think gave them that desire to ask questions and desire to grow.
Practically speaking, is asking questions something that you ever practiced? I think I recall Matthew saying something about having rehearsed questions in his mind being something, though, that he was fearful of doing. Did you say, I want you to go talk to people and ask them questions? How did you train them to do that?
Yeah, well, we were always around many people. We just always had lots and lots of people at our house, so we never allowed our children to be shy. We always made them ask questions, greet people as we would greet them. As we would talk to our children, they would talk to others. And we treated them like budding adults. We never treated them like children or talked baby language to them. But we made sure that they always were in the midst of the hospitality scene that we were. And we did many, many events at our home that were public and enabled them and gave them opportunity to display whatever gifts and talents they had and we had developed together as a family.
So shyness was not an option?
No, shyness was not an option. And if you know my wife, you know why shyness is not an option. Monica is very outgoing. She makes friends with the world, and she's helped me to be even more friendly and outgoing with people than I had ever been before. Mm-hmm. She's a natural extrovert. I am a natural introvert. So we've learned a lot and grown a lot over the years. Hmm.
That's really helpful. So, for the dads that are listening to this, how did you initiate these mentoring relationships for your sons? Because that's something that's really neat. I don't think a lot of dads are initiating for their sons. How did you do that?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is develop relationships. You know, get out there, get to conferences, make contacts, just live in the Christian world. You know, have people to your house.
Don't isolate yourself.
Yes, where you can get to talk to some of these people and have them, talk to them face to face. Tell them, the ideas you have. But practically speaking, a lot of these things came out of natural relationships I had. We spent a lot of time with Jim because I was an elder in the church for many years, and of course he's an elder as well, so that was a connection point. And another family at church whom my older son Michael, as well as Matthew, interned for. When I was an elder, obviously I had a good relationship with them because I was an elder in the church and we had lots of fellowship together. And I saw what his gifts were, I saw what the need in our family was, so I talked to him about it and asked him if he would consider apprenticing Michael. And it was very natural because I had a relationship with them.
So you're using your network and your relationships
right.
on behalf of your sons
yes.
to help build their network and establish new relationships.
Right, right. And it's I don't feel that I'm using the body of Christ
right.
in a bad way because oftentimes these men were men that I would either shepherd or counsel or invite into my home for the purpose of getting to know them, not using them for their business. And right. it was a natural outflow of our relationship.
It's the interaction of relationship in the covenant community.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So your sons have been through some successful mentorships, as we heard yesterday.
They really have
taken the bull by the horns and done something with it.
Yes.
Is that exciting for you?
Oh, that's amazing. Every time I think about it, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude and joy. Both my wife and I are just amazed at how much they've grown over the past years. As they've dug into work and rolled up their sleeves and just grasped what they were doing. And I think it was really what God had intended all along. And it's a discovery to some degree for parents. We do this with fear and trepidation at times because we don't really know, you know, what decision is really going to take traction.
Right.
But that's why my oldest son had, I think I mentioned before, four or five apprenticeship programs it wasn't an official program, but men that I had contacted. And he probably spent, I would say, a full 2 years in four or five places with that and developed character, skills, and actually he's working with his two brothers now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a real blessing as
that's
well.
That's great. Have you ever imagined for yourself compared the difference of where maybe the college track would have gotten your son Matthew, for example, as to where he is today?
I hadn't considered the outcome, but I know there was lots of intense conversations over the topic as to which way to go. Not bad ones, but just trying to figure out what is God's will for our lives. Mm-hmm. What is it? And even Matthew came to the conclusion that's not what he wanted, which helped me even more to make a decision. Mm-hmm. He really didn't want that and saw that as a waste of money and time.
I'm not asking for numbers,
yeah.
but talk about where Matthew is in relationship to preparing or to being prepared for having a family, providing for a family, mm-hmm. leading a family at, how old is he now?
22.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at 22, where is he?
Oh,
in your opinion?
Well, I would like to think that all my children are you know, more ready than I think, but based on his real life experience in this, and just seeing what it takes to live, seeing what it takes to work, seeing what it takes to plan his life and organize his life, I certainly think he's ready, more ready now than he's ever been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that's a real blessing.
That's great.
And they both desire that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, and why wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what would be your word to fathers who are listening to this? What would be your challenge to them?
Don't take anything for granted. You know, in the lives of your children. Shepherd them, love them, be a part of their lives. Take the time to read the Word with them, to pray with them, you know, develop a prayer relationship with them, encourage them. One of the things that I've done a lot of traveling in my business, but one thing that I have done over the years, I've written personal letters to each one of my children, encouraging them in their faith, just describing to them where I feel their skills are, you know, how they're blessing other people, encouraging them on to love and good deeds and even greater things in the Lord. And my youngest son recently told me that he has all my letters in one stack in his Bible. Just a real blessing to hear that. So the children do listen to the fathers and mothers' exhortations, and they take it to heart. And I can't tell you the incredible joy I have when my children call me and ask me for their opinion on something,
mm-hmm.
you know, and cherish it. And I know that has only come over many hours of pressing in to developing relationships